The epistle for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from that of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you know that when you were Gentiles, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says anathema to Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of workings, but the same God, who works all things in all. Now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. To one, through the Spirit, is given the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith in the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing in the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, who allots to everyone according to his will. And the gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable also to some who trusted in themselves as being just and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and began to pray thus within himself, O God, I thank thee that I am not like the rest of men, robbers, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went back to his home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we see the contrast between these two people, the Pharisee and the publican. Two completely different ways of praying. We see the Pharisee in a posture which was typical of those of that day, with his arms stretched out, looking for attention as he prays, like one who we could say would be the type of person who would go and take the first seat if he was an invited guest at a dinner. He thanks God for not being like the rest of men, as if he is one who stands out alone from all others. And he did more than anyone else too in his mind. The Levites asked for a fast of one time per week. He fasted twice a week, and he was very proud of it. He asked for nothing in his prayer. He didn't ask for anything, as if he already had everything he needed, as if he had perfected every virtue. What else could he need? But then if we look to the publican, his disposition, his posture is quite different. He stands afar off, with his eyes cast down, bowing in humility. And he pleads for mercy and he pleads for forgiveness, acknowledging that he is guilty. He remains afar off and he trembles and he is afraid. He is afraid of the justice of God. What are the results? The publican, the one who remained afar off and who prayed in humility, he is justified. But the Pharisee is not. So what was wrong with the Pharisee's prayer that was right with the publican's? We can see three mistakes that the Pharisee made in his prayer. First, he listed his own good works. He enumerated those good things which he did. Secondly, he did not accuse himself of any wrongdoing, of any sin. And then finally, he compares himself to others in general, and then to the publican in particular. So first, he lists his good works. And why does he do this? He does this not to glorify God, but to justify himself, to glorify his own works. We can think about St. Paul in 2 Corinthians. There was a time when he went through and he listed some of the good things which he had done. He talked about how he asked, are these teachers Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. He goes through a list comparing himself to those false teachers who were trying to subvert the Corinthian church. He talks about being stoned, being scourged, being shipwrecked three times. But all of this is not directed towards his own glory, but towards the glory of his Heavenly Father, trying to lead those Corinthian Catholics to God. Not to show his own glory, but to lead them to God. And that is where the Pharisee here today fails. Because all of his boasting, in a way, of his good works was in order to glorify himself rather than to glorify God. He talks about fasting. He talks about tithing. But it's all in order to glorify himself. And he does nothing to acknowledge God's assistance. Whereas St. Paul attributed all of his good works to God, the Pharisee today attributes nothing to God. So that's one of those things, that he lists those good deeds which he has done, giving none of the credit to God. Then the second is that he does not accuse himself of any sins. And we already said, it is as if he completely had every virtue which was necessary. There was nothing more which he could be in need of. And so, the main purpose of prayer, petitioning, doesn't seem to even apply to the Pharisee, as if he has nothing more that he could possibly need. We should remember that we don't want to pray like him. We want to pray for things, for specific things. God desires that we pray for them. He desires that we come to him and ask him for the graces, for the things that we do need. And finally, he compares himself. He compares himself to people in general, and then to the publican in particular. And he assumes in a way that he knows the secrets of the publican's heart. He rashly judges him. He says, "I am not like him." He denies the good name of the publican. "I am not like the rest of men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, and also this publican." He ruins his good name in his own heart. He accuses the publican of sins. And it's interesting for us to consider that, who is it? When we go before Christ to be judged at the end of time, who is it that will be the accuser? It will be the devil. And so, when the Pharisee today is accusing the publican of sin, who is he imitating? He's imitating the devil. What should we do then? When we are aware of sinners, rather than accusing them, or rather than looking down upon them, we should pray for them. And we should also ask to be preserved from the sins similar to their own, that we may be preserved from such sins. We should ask pardon for the sins which we already have committed. And we should realize that if it were not for God's help, we ourselves would commit sins far greater than those which our neighbors ever have. It's only because of God's grace that we haven't committed sins which are far greater. And we are capable of doing this so long as we live, unless we have God's grace, unless we have his support and his gifts. There is no sin which human nature is not capable of committing, and that applies to each one of us. So we must thank God for those things which he has given to us always. So, the Pharisee had a few problems in his prayer, but he didn't have everything wrong. There are a few things he did well, right? He came to a house of prayer, came to the temple to pray, and in a way he thanked God. He said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like the rest of men." He did thank God in a certain way, though. He didn't seem to have many sins, at least external sins, on his soul. He wasn't a thief, he wasn't an adulterer, he wasn't an unjust man, at least in his external acts. He fasted, he tithed. So there were good things which he was doing. But what ruined his prayer? He ignores his own sins. He is only concerned with external sins. Also, he praises his own good works, and he accuses others of sin. What about the publican? His prayer is a good one. There's nothing that we could point to and say was wrong in the way that he prayed. He had humility, he had contrition, and he had confidence in God. Humility, he stood afar off. He knew his unworthiness to draw nearer, and he kept his head down and his eyes cast down as well. He called himself a sinner. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." So he had humility. He also had contrition. He was sorry for his sins. God, have mercy on me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He doesn't mention his good works. He strikes his breast, making no excuses, but simply asking for forgiveness for those sins which he admits to having committed. And then finally, that confidence is present in him. God listens to the contrite heart, and he listens to the humble heart. So, knowing this, the publican makes his prayer a prayer of confidence. We could say that it would seem that such a man coming into the temple with apparently no good works, at least none which he speaks of, would have little reason to trust that God would hear his prayer. But consider what true humility does for us. If we truly are humble, we will see ourselves as we are. And that means that we realize nothing good that I have, nothing good that I have done, is to be attributed to myself. It is all from God, a gift from him. And so we can look at our lives and we can consider so many great blessings which God has given to us and realize how he is watching over us, how he is taking care of us. It truly is. And so if we consider this, if we have true humility and we realize that all of those good things come from God, the consequence of this is going to be, hopefully for us, great confidence that he will continue to take care of us, that he will continue to give us those things which we need. And so when we make a prayer, we should pray not for small things, but we should pray for great things. This is the greatest, this is the most pleasing prayer to God, is a prayer for great things, for that confidence that he will give it to us. So let us ask God to be very generous with us. Let us ask with humility, with contrition, but also with great confidence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.